Hello, my name is Sam, and I'm so glad that you came to teachbible.org. I'm very excited to talk to you about a topic that is puzzling to many people, especially these days, but it was all through the history. The problem is, why do bad things happen to good people? Why innocent people suffer? This is a question that is raised by many sincere people. Why do bad things happen to good people? Why innocent people suffer? You know, you may have lost your spouse in an accident or sickness, but many other wicked people still have their spouses, and apparently they don't have any issues. You may have family problems, like your wife or husband plotted against you and pulled your children on their side. Maybe police pulled you and gave you a ticket, but not to others. And maybe your child suffers, but other children are okay and fine. Someone falsely reported against you, and you were in a prison with no mistakes of your own. And the list goes on and on. Now you think whether God is truly in charge of your life. Unfairness can eat away or destroy our faith life in the Lord. Many people left their churches because of some type of unfairness. And you ask, why did this happen to me if God is with me? Why am I faced with this unfairness in my life? Do you know unfairness has the potential to ruin your faith life? As I said above, many people's faith life was ruined or destroyed because of some bad things happened in their life. The biggest challenge is unfairness have the potential to break our faith. When I survey the Bible, I can see few valuable examples of faith warriors who were faced with the severe unfairness in their life. The list includes Job, Joseph, Jeremiah, and Jesus Christ. You see, when we look back, we can also understand life is quite often unfair to us. Is there anyone who did not face unfairness in their life? How many unfair things happened to you just in last 1 year, in 1 month, or even last 1 week, or even last few days of your life? Someone cheated you. You lost your job when your colleagues still have their job. You were falsely accused. Someone else took what belonged to you. Unfairness permeates our life. Why God let it happen in my life? Therefore, it is important to have a biblical understanding of this topic. Some of the examples of severe unfairness we can see in the Bible. Jesus faced more severe unfairness than any other people or any other Bible characters listed in the Bible. And next comes Joseph, Job, Jeremiah, etc. Joseph was treated unfairly. His own brothers plotted against him to kill him by putting him in a pit. Genesis chapter 37, verse 18. And then they sat down to eat a meal. You see, their own brother abandoned him in a pit, which had bugs and creeping creatures probably in it. They did not care. They are enjoying their meal as if something good accomplished. Bible says in the book of Genesis chapter 37 that Joseph's brothers had severe jealousy at him, and they hated him because their father Jacob favored Joseph out of all his 12 children. His father made a multicolored beautiful cloth for him when his brothers did not get any special clothes. In addition, they hated Joseph because of his two dreams, which he explained to all his brothers and father. You see, his own brothers left Joseph to die in that pit. But a little while later, Judah, one of the brothers, said to other brothers, "It is not good to kill him. Let us sell him to Egyptian traders." So they sold Joseph for 20 pieces of silver. It is said that usually the price of a slave is 30 pieces of silver. But their brothers sold Joseph with a deep discount. How cruel and evil were his brothers toward him. He ends up in Egypt as a slave. His legs were fastened and were placed in a slave market for sale. One of the officers of Pharaoh, his name was Potiphar, He bought Joseph as his slave. A boy of 17 years old in his teenage time is away from his loving father, family, and familiar circumstances in a foreign nation. He ended up in a foreign land and became a slave to those who do not even speak his own language or have his own culture. Was this not unfair to him? Yes, it was. Severe, hardcore unfairness happened in Joseph's life. On top of that, Potiphar's house, his wife had an eye on young Joseph and wanted him to lie with her. But Joseph refused her requests again and again. He said to her like this, "Look, my master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God?" End of quote. Genesis chapter 39, verse 9. You know, this young Joseph knew that sexual sin is a sin against God. And that is why he refused and did not give himself to the daily temptations of her. Genesis chapter 39, verses 11 to 20 gives an account of next unfairness happened to him. One day while he was doing his work, no one was inside the room. She caught him by his garment and said, "Lie with me." But he left his garment in her hand and fled and went outside the room. She got upset and angry and called other men of the household and reported false accusation against Joseph. She said Joseph came to lie down with her, and when she screamed, he left his clothes and fled away. She said this to her husband Potiphar, and he placed Joseph in a prison. You see, Joseph ended up in jail for something he never did. How far can unfairness continue happening like this? But the Bible says in Genesis 39:21 this important statement. It says like this, "But the Lord was with Joseph and extended kindness to him and gave him favor in the sight of the jailer." End of quote. The jailer put Joseph in charge of other prisoners. While Joseph was in prison, something happened in Pharaoh's palace. Pharaoh's cupbearer and chief baker offended him somehow, and he placed both of them in jail where Joseph was. The captain of the bodyguard put Joseph in charge of them. This is explained in the book of Genesis chapter 40. Joseph took care of them very good. Both the cupbearer and the chief baker had dreams on the same night. Their faces were so sad, so Joseph asked them why their faces were down. They said, "We both had some type of dreams, and there is no one to interpret our dreams." He said like this, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell it to me, please." Genesis chapter 40, verse 8. Joseph said the meaning of the dreams with the help of the living Lord in heaven, and the dreams were fulfilled exactly as he interpreted. But when he interpreted the dreams, he also said to them, "When all goes good with you in near future, please remember me and get me out of this place, because I haven't done nothing wrong to be here in this jail." The chief baker was hanged to death by Pharaoh, and the chief cupbearer was restored to his office back in the palace. Yet when all these things went well for the chief cupbearer, he forgot about Joseph and did not remember him. Genesis chapter 40, verse 23. Another unfairness again happened in Joseph's life like this. Though he was good to the chief cupbearer, he did not remember him and he forgot about him. Finally, Pharaoh had a dream, and there was no one to interpret his dream. At that time, the chief cupbearer remembered Joseph and recommended his name to Pharaoh. And Pharaoh invited Joseph. He called Joseph into his palace and asked if he could interpret his dream. Joseph said like this, "It is not in me. God will give Pharaoh a favorable answer." End of quote. Joseph interpreted the meaning of the dream regarding a soon approaching 7-year worldwide famine. And he also gave valuable advice how to prepare for the severe famine coming soon. Pharaoh understood that there is a divine spirit in Joseph, and he liked his interpretation and advices, and consequently Joseph was promoted and elevated to the highest position in Egypt, only next to Pharaoh, as the top official in Egypt. When the famine occurred, the people of all the earth came to Egypt to buy grain from Joseph because the famine was severe in all the earth. Chapter 41, verse 57 of the book of Genesis. His own aged father Jacob and his 11 brothers were also brought. They also came to Egypt during this severe famine time, and Joseph protected them from death so that the promise of God to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob could continue to fulfill and a worldwide blessing could come from all these. From the age of 17 to the age of 30, Joseph had really unfairness one after another. My question to you is, how did Joseph navigate through all these sequences of unfairness? In all these sequences of severe unfairness, how did he navigate through it and came out victoriously on the other side? Joseph did not have Bible. He did not have the Bible at that time. He didn't have the laws of Moses. He did not have Jesus' teachings. And he didn't have the things that we have today to understand God. When he faced heartbreaking, stormy, and fearful situation again and again, how come all these unfair incidents did not break his faith in God? The only thing he had was 17 years of life with Jacob, his father, back in his home, where his father loved him dearly. He heard the oral traditions from his father about God's promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he knew God made a covenant with Abraham and reiterated that same promise and covenant with his father Jacob and his grandfather Isaac. I think he knew that there was a promise of a nation, a land, a worldwide blessings going to come out of that promise that God made to them. In Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. This is all pretty much he knew, but that was enough for him to keep his faith and trust in God. But remember, we have much more knowledge about this God today, don't we? We have the completed and full counsel of God in our hands, the Bible in our hands. We have the Holy Spirit indwelling in us as believers in Jesus Christ. We have a church. We have people to pray for us in the midst of our problems and issues. What was the secret of Joseph's success in the midst of unfairness? Genesis chapter 50, verse 20 gives us the secret of facing unfair circumstances of our life. Joseph said this to his brothers. This is what he said at the beginning of quotation. As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring about this present result, to preserve my people alive. End of quote. Let us discuss a few points from here. Number one, God had a plan. Say this again and again to your own hearts and minds. God has a plan. Number two, they meant evil for sure. When they did these heartbreaking things to Joseph, they meant to destroy Joseph for sure. That was their intention. They hated him and they won't even speak to him any kind words. Number three, Joseph had his share of mistakes as well. Apparently, he spied on his brothers by reporting bad things about them to his father Jacob. Jacob used him as a spy agent to get reports about his brothers. This is reported in Genesis 37, verse 2d and verses 13 to 14. Plus, he said to his brothers in one occasion, to his brothers and father, about his dream by which he was saying they will all one day bow down and worship him. How cool to say such things to brothers. Number four, there is an important phrase in this verse, in chapter 50, verse 20. But God, that is a very important phrase. But God used their evil plan to accomplish God's beautiful plan. God in his sovereign power overruled their evil and turned it into something good. God turned Joseph's mistakes also into something good. Fifth point, Do you know God was in charge of Joseph's life? The same is true with you and me. God is in charge of our lives no matter what happens, and He has a plan. God is a sovereign God, and He accomplishes His plan in and through you, no matter what people plot evil schemes against you, no matter what others do to destroy you. God can overrule all those evil things against you to fulfill His perfect and good plan. Hallelujah and praise to God. This comes to the sixth point. If you are a child of God, if you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, God can turn your mistakes and other people's evil plans into something good for His ultimate glory. Is this not what the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 28? It says like this, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose." End of quote. The seventh point is, if you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, Bible says you are made righteous on behalf of Jesus Christ's merit. Because of the shed blood of Christ, Bible also says, He, God, made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. We have right standing before the Holy God because of our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, because He died, buried, and resurrected for our sins. God is the one who orders your steps. Why? Because you belong to Him and you are His child. Psalm 37:23 says that. Eighth point is, God is not the author of evil. Bible says God is good always and He will not tempt us to do any sin or evil. Instead, God gives us good things. God gives all good things to us. James 1:13-17. But God has final sovereign ruling even over bad and evil things as well, because He is the sovereign God. He can overrule evil things and turn it into good to accomplish His ultimate perfect purpose for us. This leads to the final and ninth point. The brothers sold Joseph to Egyptians as a slave, but God used their occasion and their evil plans to accomplish His perfect plan of preserving His promise and covenant He made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to preserve the line of Abraham, to preserve the seed of Abraham from the approaching worldwide famine, and to preserve the genealogy of Jesus Christ through the line of Judah to fulfill the unconditional covenant blessings God promised to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. My dear friend, God, the good God, can do such a miracle in your unfair life circumstances as well. God is sovereign to accomplish the same in your life. Instead of getting bitter, angry, and frustrated, trust in the sovereign God and His perfect plan and wait patiently for His plan. Understand God has a bigger plan behind what is happening right now in your life. Life is hard, but do you know this truth? God is always good. If you are old enough, I know you will say this testimony of Joseph, but God. How many bad things happened in your life, but God? How many people tried to ruin you and destroy you, but God? How many times you thought you are fallen from faith, but God? You have gone through bitter and painful experiences in your life, but you still pray, right? You still go to worship the Lord. Is that not a miracle? It is a miracle, the hand of the Lord in your life. In the midst of your bad and evil incidents occurred, God was there so far, and He will be there in future to navigate you through it all. In addition, Bible says there is a weight of glory waiting for you in near future when Jesus Christ appears. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. You see, an eternal weight of glory that God promised that outweighs that outweighs all our current afflictions. If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior as of yet, may I invite you to accept Christ as your Savior now? God is granting this opportunity to come to Him, and through the name of Jesus Christ, Christ came down to this world, died, buried, and risen again for your sins. You can successfully navigate your life in the midst of severe storms and unfairness if Jesus Christ is in your life. God loves you, and He wants to forgive all your sins. He wants to save you and grant you eternal life. Would you come to Him with a small prayer with me now? Pray after me like this. God, I know You love me. I know You sent Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, to die in my place for my sins. I believe Jesus died, buried, and risen again to make me Your child. I accept Jesus Christ as my Savior today. Please forgive my sins. I turn away from my sins in obedience to You. Please save me. Thank You, Lord. Amen. If you prayed this prayer with the authority of the Bible, I welcome you to God's family now. You became a child of God right now, and you belong to Him, and God granted you eternal life right now. Let me ask you a favor. Please visit www.teachbible.org and go to Contact Prayer tab and send me a note. I'll be thrilled to hear from you. Thank you for doing that. One advice I want to give you, my friend, if you have a Bible teaching, Bible preaching church in your area, please go there. Talk to the leaders in that church, and they will help you, and they will tell you what to do next. May the good God richly bless you, and may His favor be upon you continuously. Thank you.